Today, I want to talk about learning to receive His Word. Amen? Some people, the Word, they just read it and it's like it just washes over them. And by the time they've got in the car to go to work, they can't even remember what they read. And God wants us to really learn to hear Him speak through His Word and to really honor it and value it. Before I do that, though, I don't know. I had two gifts this week, and I'm not sure if God's trying to tell me something. This one is a joke book. A man walks into a bar. I've been told not to read certain jokes. And then someone else, dad jokes. So clearly there's a measure of dissatisfaction among the congregation that I need to address. And Trevor says, sometimes I'm inspired. So I want you to tell me, do you think these jokes are any better than mine? What do you call a pony with a cough? A little horse. What did they give the inventor of a door knocker? A Nobel Prize. Okay, last two, okay. You're going to have to give me better books than this. I won't say who gave me this. What do you call a T-Rex that's been in the fight? A dinosaur. Okay, well, there you are. I won't say who gave that to me, but do you prefer my jokes? Who prefers my jokes? Okay, good. Okay, well, anyway, let's pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for your word, that your words are life, that your spirit, that they transform us, Lord. And we want to be those who love your word, who cherish your word, and who abide in your word, Lord. And so I pray today that you will give us such love for your word that it will go into our hearts and it will never leave us until we see you, the word of God, face to face. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Right. Well, moving on quickly from those terrible jokes. No, there's wonderful jokes. There's someone here looking. Jesus said this, my sheep, what do they do? My voice. And I know them and they follow me. And another verse says, a stranger's voice they will not hear. And when they train bank clerks about counterfeit money, the way they train them is they give them real money and they work with that real money so much they can feel it, they can see it, they can almost sense that it's real. So when they put a counterfeit note in, immediately you can go, no, that's not real money. Yeah? And the thing is this, the more you become familiar with God's word, amen, with God's ways, with the genuine, you begin to immediately sense when something comes in that's not from him. That's a counterfeit. That's not right. Amen? And I think someone's been preparing this baptism tank for me today. It's creaking. Oh, well, there we go. Listen, the more you know God's word and the more you recognize you are a sheep and God is speaking to each one of us. In fact, Jeremiah said, in the new covenant, they will all know me. Amen? not just the prophet, priest, and king, not just knowing God through the reading of the Torah, but they will all have a relationship with me. The Bible says in Corinthians, we all, it talks about Moses going in on behalf of the people of Israel in the old covenant. Now in the new covenant, we all with unveiled face are beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. Amen? And so God has opened the door. The first thing that happened when Jesus died and he cried out, into your hands I commit my spirit. What was the first thing that happened? God went in the temple, and that curtain that divided man from the presence of God, he ripped it in two. Amen. And I think God was saying, I want to get out of this building now. I want to, where's the new temple? You. On the day of Pentecost, his spirit didn't just come upon them, he came into them. In the Old Testament, the spirit came on people, the prophet, priest, and king, to do their ministry. In the New Testament, you, Wayne, are born again. It's great to have you on the front row, brother. A new victim to tease. Ben's nearby. Were you on time today, Ben? Oh, wonderful. Well, there you go. So immediately you can tell. I've down through the years, I love prophetic ministry. I love receiving prophetic ministry. So many times God has confirmed what he's doing in my heart through people totally disconnected who say the same thing to me. Amen? We've had prophetic words over this church, and similar words have come down through the years, before my time, since my time, and God is doing wonderful things. But then there comes that thing where you discern, oh, I've got my wife's coming in, I'm going to have to pass the wife test now on my sermon. I remember, bless them, back, I don't know, it happened here. I'm sure it probably didn't. You were more sensible than we were. 06, 06, 06. And there were all these doomsday people that on 06, 06, because it's 666, you see, terrible things were going to break out. And I had emails coming in. Terrible, terrible things were about to happen. And we needed to do all these things. And in my spirit, I just knew that's not what God is saying. Someone said the whole of London will be flooded and we need to buy canoes. And people were saying, well, let's get some canoes. And I was like, no. No. And I didn't recognize that as the voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen? Because when God comes, and sometimes God does give you a warning. I remember I was ministering, I was asked to go to Brazil by the senior leader of our network and minister, and God showed me, there are troublesome times you're coming back to, but don't worry, I've already fixed it all. You just keep humble and stay on your knees. Amen. So God does that. But those ones, and I emailed back, well, let's have a coffee on 07, 06, 06. And we can talk about it. But you, the more you handle God's word, and the more God speaks to you, then a stranger's voice, you recognize it. That's not what God is saying. Amen? So learn to handle the genuine. Amen? I mean, someone said to me, if you don't listen to what I'm saying, you're going to miss revival. And, bless them. Anyway, his word, the author, is present when you read scripture. Amen? All scripture. How much of scripture is God breathed? all of it. You know, every aspect of the Bible. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the maps, the charts. No, not all of the charts, actually. But I just believe. I came to that place like Billy Graham did. He said, I choose to believe this is your word. And I'm going to honor it. Amen. And it's so, and then this is where we learn by hearing his voice. You know, when a rhema word of God, the whole Bible is the Logos. Jesus is the Logos. But God has rhemas that he speaks to you. And come on, how many people here, you've been reading your Bible and a verse jumps off the page? Amen? Yeah. And that's the voice of a good shepherd. And how do you recognize it? Sometimes it's hard. I say, how do you know? Well, I just know. But how do you know? Well, I just know that I know that I know. Yes, but what it is you recognize that's my shepherd, Jesus. He's talking to me. And down through the years, I would encourage you to write it down. I was going through, I don't do it in a book anymore, I do it in here, but you won't know which program if you nick it. So I have all these scriptures. And I treasure, it says Mary, when Simeon prophesied over her and Jesus and Joseph, she treasured these things in her heart. It says of Samuel, he didn't let one word fall to the ground. And that's why I just want to encourage you, write it down. If you know, or if you're on the walk, sometimes I'm one of these out on the hills kind of, you know, not a sort of caveman. I like to be out in the hills praying, and God speaks to me. And now you, with these smartphones, you can just dictaphone what God says. And then when I get home, I can write it down. God is speaking. And the other thing is, he speaks to you in the strangest places. He doesn't come when you want him to get to. He will do it while you're driving a tractor. He will do it. He's spoken to me in the middle of a football match. It's amazing, isn't it? He's spoken to me when I was doing 71 miles an hour on the motorway. I won't tell you what he said. John's not here today, so I'm going to be all right. Corinthians says this, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. When God speaks, it edifies. What does edify is the word edifice. It builds you up. It comforts you. That literally means to strengthen you. It exhorts. It exhorts you. You can do it. You can do it. And down through the years, I've had some amazing prophetic words. Amen. Anyone had an amazing, encouraging word? Not everyone. Okay, well, one day we'll just make sure everyone gets a word. I don't know how we do it. But I've spoken to people who've said things, I've been depressed ever since that someone spoke to me this or that. And I said, unless it witnesses, one, with the scriptures, two, with your heart, that it even if there's a little ting of correction, it's edifying, building up, it's comforting. The Bible says, test all things. Amen? Test it. And if you need friends to come and test it with you. And do you know what I find? If it's really important to God, it says in the mouths of two or three witnesses, let everything. Usually he will send someone else. He will say, you'll be driving your car. I know one person who was praying about something, and he got Joshua, be bold, be strong, be courageous. And then he was driving along, and the old beer of courage, a lorry overtook him, and it said, take courage. He said, oh, thank you, Lord. Anyway, and then someone else, God can speak to you. often when I get a scripture, as I've been preparing for this message, I really felt I should read Psalm 23 at the end of this message. I just keep seeing Psalm 23 all this week. Opening this, going on the internet, Psalm 23, listening to a podcast, Psalm 23. So God is clearly trying to talk to me about Psalm 23. I want to encourage you to value his word because it has such an impact on your life. Jesus said, "The spirit, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are, what are they? Spirit, and they are life." They're life-giving words. The word of God is living and active. It's not just a book. It is alive. Today, Jesus is alive and he speaks to his children. Amen? Good. I like that amen. Let's see if we get an amen this side. When God speaks to me, I remember one time God spoke to me saying, "You need to correct the course you're going on, because if you're 1 degree out and you're crossing the Atlantic, you could end up in a different continent by the time you get there." And you know what I felt? At that moment when the Holy Spirit said, "You need to change this in your..." And God, I just felt this love from God. I said, "Thank you, Jesus. You love me so much that you didn't let me even go 1 degree off track. He's your shepherd. Hallelujah. You may not have chosen the right football team, but he can still guide you. He can make you a Brentford fan still. I've been almost able to convert Silas from Chelsea." But anyway, sorry, I don't want to bring it down. Jesus said, we've all heard this scripture, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Can I just ask you, do you live by what you eat, naturally? If you want to really live, you need to hear the word that proceeds, the Rhema word, from the mouth of God. There are many Christians that are alive, but they're not really living. I would say this, you know, Carrie would witness to the fact, if I haven't had my coffee and breakfast, it's very hard for me to come alive. I may be vertical, but I'm not really. Give me my coffee, give me my cereal, and I come alive. But let me tell you, every day, morning by morning, the psalmist said, "He awakens my ear to hear." He is speaking to you. And if you want to live, really live the abundant life that Jesus has for you, hear the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Give him time. John Wesley says, "I'm too busy not to pray." Yeah. I love that. I'm so busy, I have to pray. I have to be in God's presence. Amen. And when God speaks to me, he brings life. My words are spirit, and they are life. As I've shared many times, I spent so much of my early Christian life battling condemnation. Feeling totally unworthy, totally not accepted by God. And then scriptures began to jump off the page at me. You are accepted in the Beloved. I'm in Christ. And I'm accepted by him. Hallelujah. Even if you don't like me, he does. But I know you all love me, and I'm just teasing. Even if my jokes have failed multiple times. And then he said this, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That means he took it all. And I just got the whole lot. I remember going to the garden tomb, and then you go round, and the back of an Arab bus station is what they call Golgotha. You can see the face of the skull outside the city. And I thought, all these things the enemy's been going at me, I just give it to you, to the cross. I did what they call a divine exchange. And I received his righteousness. Amen. It's like Joseph's technicolor dream coat. It's when the enemy comes, you show him your cloak of righteousness. Amen. And you don't need to go to Israel to do that. You can do that any day of your life. Amen. It washes me. It says his word that he might cleanse. This is talking about the bride of Christ, the church of Christ, and cleanse her with the washing of water by what? The word. We all need to wash. We had a guy back in our previous church, and when he started worshiping, there was an exodus. Around him, and it wasn't some kind of mystical anointing, it's because he was still hadn't washed. But you know, often we wash naturally, often we carry pain, we carry disappointment, we carry hurt, and then his word comes, and you know. I remember one, I was in a really chaotic point in my life. God gave me Psalm 38:8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. And it just washed away the hopelessness. Amen? And I just encourage you, every day there's a shower for you. He wants to encourage you. Maybe you're just really on the edge financially, maybe you're on the edge at work, maybe there are family pressures, whatever it is. He has a word in season. And just one, there's that hymn song, one touch from the king changes everything. I would say this, one word from the king and your whole perspective is changed. Oh, shama halamba halamba. I'm getting Pentecostal now. And then the time God just says, I am with you. Yes, but like Gideon, you've got your 20 questions. Why did this happen? And God, do you notice God didn't answer any of the questions? He just said, I'm with you. I'm with you. Wow. Wow. Are you okay? You still with me?
Yes.
You're still awake?
Yes.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. I think we touched on this last week. Listen, that word abide literally means to remain. Remain, abide in me and my words remain in you. I've listened to one charismatic leader says, oh, I don't really read the Bible much anymore. I just get words from God. Well, that's Jesus submitted, the word of God submitted himself to the word of God and quoted the word of God at least 47 times in his ministry. So maybe you're saying, I don't know why my prayers aren't getting answered. When you abide in him and his words abide in you, you are getting tuned in to his ways. So you're not asking for a 20-bedroom mansion. Unless, of course, you want to run a retreat house or something. Some people are, you know. But have you ever worked out how much your electricity bill is going to be, your gas bill? I mean, that's you because what's happening is you're allowing His priorities. He's working in you to will and to do His good pleasure. So when you come to ask, there's more accuracy in your prayers. Often God will give me a word to speak over a situation, a word to pray to Him over a situation. Amen? Amen. So He's speaking. There are words proceeding to Ola and Bola. We're speaking into your business, into your work, into, and it's not just about the spiritual bit. The Jewish mind is a holistic. God is involved in every aspect of your life. He speaks to us about Silas. Hallelujah. We need to keep hearing. We need to believe. That's the thing anyway. We're believing and we're speaking His destiny. Wow. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, my followers, the ones that I'm training indeed. And what will happen? Come on, say it out loud. Someone say it out loud. You shall. And what will happen when you know it? Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to know it. It's got to go from here to here. That's what started happening to me. I went away and this prophet said, while you're away, God's going to reveal Himself in a new way that will change the rest of your life. And I thought, that's a pretty tall order for 4.5 weeks. And we went to Patmos and I looked up all the scriptures on grace and God revealed Himself. Not just grace for salvation, grace for your gifting, grace. Paul said it's the grace of God that gives me the energy to work harder than the other apostles. Grace, you know, like amazing grace, it's grace that brought me safe thus far. It's grace that takes me in. Grace in which we stand. And let me tell you, I began to meditate sitting there, watching beautiful sunsets, and that truth got in here and it set me free. When you know the truth, there's the condemnation breaks off, the lies break off. When you know, do you know, I have an ordnance. Nigel, you're not going to like this illustration. I have an ordnance survey maps of all this area around. And where you have a public right of way that goes right through the middle of a farmyard, you've got to know the truth. Because sometimes I have farm workers looking at me. And I've got the cows leaning out the cow shed. What are you doing here? But you know, and Carrie said, are you sure we have to go through the farmyard? I said, well, look at the map. The truth is, it's a public right of way. And I'm not going to be denied what the truth says. And I walk through the farmyard. And the farmer's chewed his straw right into his mouth. And the cows are like, who's he? And that's, you got to live in that truth, because the enemy is a liar. And he's the father of lies. And he will do everything to try to stop you walking in that freedom. He had the truth will make you what?
When you first received.
Free. Free to come in. When I first used to worship, I used to think, oh, I'm not worthy. And then the Holy Spirit would start moving and I would almost want to run out because I didn't know that the blood had been shed for me. Hallelujah. And Jesus says, come boldly to to the throne of grace, that you may find mercy and help. So come back to Dad. You know, I remember Silas, when he knew he'd done something wrong, he would kind of hide from me. And then he had something in his hand behind his back. And it's like, Silas, what's in your hand? And eventually I would persuade him to show me. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. Just come back to God. Don't run away from God. Don't backslide. Run back to God. Repent. And receive his forgiveness. Amen? Is this helping you?
Yep.
You know, people pay tens of thousands of pounds for a lawyer. Amen? They pay because they want to know what their rights are. I want to know specifically what my rights to this is, or that is, or this has happened and that has happened, and I need to know what the law of the land says. And it costs people a fortune, and usually a lot of time, the only people that benefit from some cases are the lawyers. I've got a joke about lawyers, but I've been told not to share it. But let me tell you, what this world needs, it's great to have people understand the law of the land. But what the world is looking for, and what God wants, is Christians who know what God says about them. Who know this is what Jesus did at that cross. This is how I can live life. This is the pull of the Spirit that takes me away from living unrighteously. I don't need drugs. I mean, gosh, we got the Holy Spirit. We've got the joy of the Lord. We've got, you know, the word ecstasy actually comes from the Bible. There are times when I'm just so ecstatically happy that Jesus loves me. Why would any believer ever want that junk? Amen? And there's no hangover. You wake up joyful. Hallelujah. Sorry to bring back bad memories. Some people here. Lord, heal the memories. It's convicting, you see. Yeah. Listen. Know his truth. It brings freedom into your life. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, we can't have a meeting there. There's a cult just down the road. Well, poor old cults. We're coming in with God's glory. We're coming in with a blessing. We're going to bless our neighborhood. We're going to bless our, come on. I know one guy, and he kept going into towns that were messed up, bringing the word of God, starting churches, and their blessing came. And someone said, can you come to our town? It's quite a nice town. He looked at it and said, no, it's too nice. I want to go to a really bad town. Amen? It's like the Eden Project. They went into some of the roughest council estates in Manchester and brought change. And actually, Marcus Rashford was one of the people that was impacted through that project. And is it any wonder now he's that pioneer in getting kids fed during school holidays? Amen. Are you there? Are you with me? Because I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. Why are you strong? Because what? The word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. When his word abides in you, there's strength. Even on Monday morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, your words. How sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Ask God one day, get still before him. Say, how much do you love me? Let the Holy Spirit speak scriptures, speak his word to you. And I can tell you, time and time again, his word. I love my manuka honey. If anyone's going to New Zealand, I'm joking. It's sweeter than honey. It brings refreshing. It sustains you through difficult times, like Carrie was saying. Those disciples on the way, they said, were not our hearts burning within us? Am I whetting your appetite for his word? Are you still there? It's okay, I won't keep you too long. His words are pure. They're refined. The words of the Lord are pure words. Silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. When you're making really valuable gold, you purify it again and again and again. You know, it says, when Samuel was young, the word of the Lord was rare. Because there was immorality in the temple. There were things going on that were bad. But today, he has a preceding word to each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. And it's purified. The amazing thing is, God speaks to each one differently. He loves you. Some people he speaks to, you know, just being out in nature and a scripture comes to your mind. Other people, different things. But he is speaking to you. So I want to give you just 5 principles to pray when you come to read God's word so that you can get the very most you can out of this. This is something that God's been really leading me in. And then we're going to land it early. Before you read God's word, I encourage you, number one, pray and invite the Holy Spirit to just come and be with you. The Bible is the only book that every time you read it, the author is present. Amen. He's present. He's present today. So if I'm sharing with you his word, he's going to make parts of this message, not the joke bits, but the other bits, come alive to you. Amen? Amen. And so in the all scripture is God-breathed. The breath of God goes in to his word. His word is living. It is spirit and is life. Invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. Have an attitude of humility. One of the things when you've heard as many sermons as some of us have heard, you've read the Bible through as many times as many of us have read the Bible, you can become, yeah, I know that, yeah, David threw the thing, yeah, conked out Goliath, yeah, no, 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 I know, yeah. What am I going to get out of this today? Yeah, I know about the fish, yeah. I just want to encourage you. It says, receive with meekness the implanted word of God. The parable of the sower says the word will go out, and I don't think it's just people getting saved and not getting saved. Some places, it just falls on hard ground. Other places, the cares and worries of the world choke the life out of it. Other places, persecution will come. But if I prepare my heart, and I become like a child. Hallelujah. Well done, Ben. Great granddad. Oh, setting an example. I prepare with meekness. Lord, I've read this scripture maybe 100 times, but it's a living word. What are you speaking to me? Amen. Never rush. Don't be in such a rush. Someone said this, God is a 3-mile-an-hour God, because if he was a 60-mile-an-hour God, he couldn't love people because he just rushes past. Take time in his word. Amen. Read with focus. The Bible passage that you selected, read it slowly and thoughtfully, maybe multiple times. The first time, just read it, let the words sink in. And when reading it a second time or several times, pay attention to what word or phrase you are drawn to jumps out at you. Amen? See, Proverbs, this is something many of us struggle with. My son, give attention to my words. What does that mean? Turn off your mobile phone. Amen. Turn off the TV. Turn off your iPad. Well, you might be reading from your iPad, but Jesus said, go into a place, shut the door. In other words, take all the distractions away. Amen. I remember when Silas was born, my quiet time in the middle of winter was going down the park in the snow. That was where I could get his attention. I could get my attention. Incline your ear to my sayings. What that means? Lean in. What that means is shut out all the other voices. Often when I'm coming to have my time with the Lord, God will remind me, you've got to visit 50 people today. Well, no, it's not God. It's what I do is I just write, make a note of it so I don't forget it. But then I lean in. Give him your ear, your full attention. Don't be so rushed and scatty. Amen? Lean in. Let them not depart from your eyes. Sometimes I try and enter into a scripture and ask God, show me what that looks like. What do I look like blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places? What do you look like, Jesus? And then I look in Book of Revelation and those eyes are blazing fire. I keep them and I try to let those words go into the midst of my heart. Amen. The word that he's led me to study. Keep them in your heart. Don't just get in the car and forget what you just read. Get on the tractor and start thinking and mulling on it. Amen. For what are his words? They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Often when I hear God's word, and I've had times when I've been really sick and I just put on scriptures on healing, and God has brought health to my flesh. Amen? Meditate, that literally means to ponder. And in Hebrew it can mean to mutter. That's why when you see the Orthodox guy, they're muttering God's word. And they're moving backwards and forwards. In fact, there's a few intercessors like that. Meditate on that word or phrase that stood out to you. Ponder those words. What is God saying to you through that word or phrase? Ask him. Offer yourself to him. What comes to you as you meditate on those scriptures? Write them down. Amen. It's like Joshua was told before he went into the promised land. The book of the law, which is the first, the Torah, and shall not depart from your what? Your mouth. You shall meditate on it how often? Day and night. I often go to sleep with a scripture. We've been playing scriptures. I've been playing just last thing at night, just a scripture. So even while I'm sleeping, my heart is awake, meditating. Day and night. When you're in the traffic jam in Newbury that everyone posts on Facebook and says this is terrible, and another farmer's got his farm, and there's a queue of 20 cars, and you know, just get a scripture that God gave you and ponder it, meditate on it during the day, during the night. Amen. I hope this is helping you. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by rivers of waters, fruitful in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. If you're struggling at work, learn to meditate, to ponder God's word. Amen? And then speak and pray God's word. Prayerfully read the passage again, respond to God, and then pray and speak out what God has said. You are my shepherd. Thank you, Lord. I shall not want. You've got all of my needs taken care of. Amen? Read, declare the scripture. God's word, it's near you. Every one of us will know him. Every one of us has the word of God. Where? It is in your mouth. Speak it. And where? In your heart. In the Old Testament, they put the word over their doorposts. You know, they had their words on their wrists, on their foreheads. God wants us to have it in our hearts. And then before you face, or maybe you have a quiet time in the evening, it's you just find what works for you. I don't put laws down. You might find lunch break works for you. You might find early evening works for you, whatever it is. But learn before you face the day ahead, if you can, or whenever you do it, calm yourself and learn to be still. We are so full of noise. We are so full of distractions. We are so full of voices, radio voices, TV voices. Be still and know I'm God. I have calmed and quieted my soul. Just take a minute to just sit in his presence. Be still and know I'm God. I will be exalted. Mr. Putin will not decide the fate of our world. Amen. Or anyone else. He will be exalted among the nations. And be still. You go out into a noisy world, but carry that stillness and peace with you. Hallelujah. Lastly, prayer and thanksgiving. You know, pray back to God what he's shown you. Ask it to be cemented in your life. Ask God to help you apply what he's shown you. But can I just say, in all your praying, never miss out thanksgiving. The Lord's Prayer begins with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Begins with honoring God. In everything, in by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And then he goes on to say, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in him. And you can go into that day, go into that traffic jam, go into that boss that doesn't like you with the peace of God. Amen. There's just six keys, and we'll be looking at some of those in the future. I want to just play a little reflection. Oh, you need to get him. Oh, he's in Sunday school. My little friend, Vaca, is going to help me. And I'm just going to take you through Psalm 23. And so make yourself comfortable. I hope he's coming. Or Amanda, maybe you could bail. I don't know. She didn't even know she was going to do that. Okay. Thank you, Amanda. And just reflect right now on the Lord. And I'm going to read Psalm 23 and some of the things that God has spoken to me personally through. And I just pray he will speak to you today as I share the psalm. Okay, Amanda. So you can close your eyes, you can open your eyes, you can just focus on Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. He knows you by name. He knows every hair on your head. You are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, and he's committed, fully committed to you. And then it says, I shall not want. Your shepherd provides for his sheep. He meets all of your needs as you allow his shepherding hand to lead and to guide you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He's going to bring you, maybe you're going for a dry season, but as you let that shepherdy crook just lead you, you're coming to a place where you will be replenished in that green pasture. There'll be fresh sustenance. And you're going to have refreshing waters where you can drink, where your thirst can be quenched, where you can be refreshed and built up. He restores my soul. He will continue to touch your innermost being. He heals the brokenness in your heart. He heals and takes away the pain, the disappointment, the things that you've carried many years. I'm restoring your soul. I'm restoring you on the inside. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His loving, shepherding hand pulls you into righteousness, so that you can be and bring honor to his name in everything you do and everywhere you go. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even in the deep difficulties and chaos of life, you have no need to fear. He is with you. He never left you. He never forsook you. He's with you every single step of the way. He doesn't lead you to that valley. He leads you through the valley. He's going to bring you out into rich fulfillment. He's going to bring you out into that broad place. Yes, his staff and rod can seem tough at times, but they demonstrate how much he loves you and cares for you, that he doesn't want you to miss his purpose for your life. You prepare a table. Just see that table before you. Before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm so overwhelmed by the beautiful blessings that you have laid before me. All of your goodness, every promise is yes and amen in Christ. Oh, all the ways you have blessed me. Bless me. Blessed us, Lord. You have given us so much. You are so generous, so caring, so loving. Thank you, Jesus. I don't need to focus on my enemy who can only watch. I'm talking about Satan and his cohorts, who can only watch as I enjoy God's goodness. you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Hallelujah. Oh, just see, maybe you're dry right now, but God says, I anoint you with fresh oil. The shepherd anoints the sheep because it keeps the flies off them. He is anointing you. He anoints my head. He fills me afresh with his Holy Spirit. So I can just overflow everywhere I go and everyone I meet. I can overflow with your love, with the good news, with the grace of God. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, every day of my life. Each day, God has goodness that he wants to reveal to you and manifest in your life. Even the darkest days, he reveals his kindness and goodness to us. And when we fail him, and when we mess up, when we stray as sheep so often do, his mercy follows us. He restores us. He brings us back to himself. And then he says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. One day I will see your face, that good shepherd. He who began a good work will bring it right through to completion. The author and the finisher of my faith will have finished the work. And we will see you face to face. And we will dwell together in the fullness of your glorious presence forever and ever and ever. No more sin, no more pain, no more sickness, no more tears. We will see the lover of our soul face to face. Amen. Hallelujah. Just thank him right now. He's your shepherd. He's your shepherd. Oh Lord, just if a verse in that psalm spoke to you, just declare it. Thank you, Lord, for the banqueting table. Thank you. We don't deserve it. We can never earn it. We can never try and get it. We just receive it. Thank you, Lord. I shall not want. Oh Lord, even in this time of inflation, that you are our source. Thank you, Jesus. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Do we have is there some? Bola, have you got something? Oh, have you got something, Emma? Go on, sing it. Come here.
Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. Will it make a choice to listen for your voice? Wherever you may lead, I will go. Be it in the quiet pasture, or by the gentle stream, the shepherd of my soul will be my God. Though I highest mountain, O valley dark and dear, the shepherd of my soul will be my God.
Amen. Do you have a song?